Oh no, I screwed it up. Where's Val? Okay, there we go. Sorry, guys. Two of us
Oh.
were missing. Two of us were missing. Magic trick. Poof. There we go.
We
Yeah,
appear.
we appear. So, yeah, welcome to episode two of our Button Masters podcast. Accidents will happen. Hope everyone is doing well tonight. We're going to go over a few things today. I'll do a little quick I don't want to say recap, but itinerary of what we're going to go over today. So we're going to do a little bit on Diablo 4 and what we're liking about it so far. We're going to do our Smash or Pass on a game I'm not going to announce yet. We got some gaming news. We got some Black Friday deals. And then we got our usual coming up to Xbox Game Pass this month. So if you guys are ready, we can start talking about Diablo.
Oh yeah.
Ready? All right.
Ray,
So
you're further along. You start it.
I'm further along.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm further along down. So yes, we have all played a decently extensive amount of Diablo. I am greatly enjoying the season. Obviously, I created a Spiritborn like 99.98% of the other people, and it is well overpowered, but in a very fun way. I am in the somewhere in the 260, I think 263 maybe, Paragon level range. So I am definitely end game. I am trying to push that 150 pit. I'm getting there. My issue, and I don't know, well, you guys probably haven't run into it yet, but once you get into those higher pits, almost every single like elite group are damage resist. And that's like almost impossible to kill them at that level. So you have to kind of like move on and try to find another group. And the problem is, if you bring that damage resistant group, that damage just spreads to everything you've brought them to. So it's very difficult. It has a lot of, in my opinion, you have to have a lot of luck on your side with the RNG of how the pit lays out. At least with the build that I'm doing. I'm doing the oh, what is it called? The Crushing Hand build. I know a lot of people are doing that, or Quill Volley is the most popular one. But it is great. I think the climb to 300 is ridiculously long, and they do need to cut that down. As we were just talking before the podcast started, Paragon level 284 is halfway to 300. So that math doesn't even make sense to me. But again, I do enjoy it. I just have to masterwork some more of my stuff to perfection, and then I should be able to do it. So yeah, who wants to go next on their Diablo experience?
Yeah, so right now, I feel like my Spiritborn is in a good place, but I got so tired of dying in Torment 4 that I went like hyper aggressive with my Paragon board and overcorrected. So now I'm trying to like hone it back in. So I've got two rare nodes that I'm really close to unlocking. And then once those two unlock, it is going to be on. We'll be able to I'll be able to do like I'm at I think my pit is about 115 right now, so I'll probably start pushing into the 120s and the 130. I'm at a 239 Quill Volley, Feather, Gorilla, Eagle, Spiritborn, man.
Okay. I do have a question for you. What is the highest crit that you have seen?
The highest crit that I've seen has been like a 1 to 2 bill.
1 to 2 billion?
Yes.
Okay. My
But it's
my
not consistent.
Yeah, well, no. Those are not, and so with the build is you use the Jaguar ultimate, right?
Right.
Yep. So, I'm sure the highest crit that you've seen is actually in white numbers.
Correct.
Yep, that's because the Jaguar can't actually crit, but it's the big numbers. So, mine, I don't want to throw any jealousy out there, but the highest that I've seen is 198,000 T, as in Tom. So, that's 198,000 trillion, is what I have seen as a crit. And I still can't beat Pit 150. Tell me how that makes sense.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. And it's because of the damage resist?
Well, the way my build works for the pit push is, I forget what is on the ring, but it has a chance when you kill something to keep ricocheting off everything in the area. So the way the build works, you have to try and kill one of the little guys, like one of the, you know, basic guys. And when that guy gets killed, there's like a 78% chance that the damage will just go all through everything. And all of a sudden, all the guys will just wipe. So when I go and kill like a boss, I cannot kill a boss in pit 135 or higher unless the boss has adds. And what will happen is I'll fight the boss for 2-3 minutes, and I've maybe taken down like 0.5% of his health, and the adds will spawn, and then I'll kill an add, and then his health gets deleted all the way. It's crazy.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of wild.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch, but it's like, it's such a buildup. You're like, I'm not doing any damage, and all of a sudden, dead. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
So, Val, how you been liking it?
I've been enjoying it and trying to, you know, once I subscribe to the diverse introvert school of Diablo, I seem to have gotten my build dialed in, because I was struggling there for a minute. And then once I got the, you know, the build going and started getting the correct masterworking and tempers, which, by the way, they need to reduce the cost on some of that shit, because that's ridiculous. I am going through Objicite and Rawhide, excuse me, like, it's going out of style.
That's...
like, yeah. It's ridiculous, the amount, because it's, everything's so random. Like, I understand, it's, you know, it's, you're essentially gambling when it comes to masterworking. I get that. But why does it have to cost so freaking much to do everything to your armor?
Well, I think when you look at the totality of the game and how they have it set up to really grind this season, I think I've gotten past all of that stage of any of that kind of grinding. Like, my abductite is insane. I have so many mats. I have so much gold, and it's not that big of a deal. So I think you're fixing to go over that hurdle of all the mats and stuff.
Well, and what sucks for me is, like, I don't know where you guys are at as in regards to armor. I know Ray's got a 4GA rod. Giggity.
Yeah, I do.
but like, all my gear is just 1GA. Yes, it's in the correct location that I need, but if I find a piece that is, you know, a 2GA that is what I need and in the correct locations, now I got to go through that whole process all over again.
So what I've noticed with this game, at least for this season, I should say, is you really only need 1GA for each of your items. And that is important for a couple reasons. Number one, when you have it in GA, you can masterwork 12 times instead of 8. If you don't have a GA, you can only masterwork 8 times. That's a huge difference. And as long as you get the GA in the right, you know, you need the GA in the right thing, whatever you need for that piece. Most of my pieces is max life, because my build does damage based on how much, barrier that I have. And the more life you have, the more barrier you have. So I stack life.
I know my build is, you know, I needed more resolve stacks. Once I remasterworked my one piece of gear to get more resolve stacks.
Well, I have to do that too. I have two pieces of gear that are resolve stacks, and then the rest, I have to focus on my max life. And with the Obdusite, I have, I think, 5 or 6 of my items that are orange in the spot that I need it for on that item. And that's what takes forever, is re-rolling that so many times to get orange on what you want. And the one piece that I don't have orange in what I want is one of my resolve stacks. So I have orange on one, which, oddly enough, the first time I masterworked it, it all three hit. It was the most luck I've ever had in this game. And the other one I have probably spent 80 to 100,000 obdusite on, and have not gotten.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, it's so it's payback.
And then
it's Diablo payback for giving me that gift on the first time.
They also need to do something about the tempering and bricking items.
So a couple things I think would fix tempering. A, don't have a limit. Don't have a limit. Or if you are going to have a limit and still have the scroll would still be needed. Either A, allow more scrolls, or B, when you temper it, have an option to keep what you have in there. That way you can actually work on getting it as a better percentage of what it is. Because there's times where I'll temper items and I'll do the first temper, it's what I want. The second temper, it's what I want. But it's on the low end. But I don't want to re-roll it because it might not roll again. Yeah. And I just lost an item that took me 2 weeks to find.
Yeah, I like the idea of being able to keep the temper and just keep re-rolling and just have it kind of progressively cost you a little more each time.
That's how Diablo 3 worked. You could keep rolling, keep rolling, keep rolling, keep rolling. And, you know, if it wasn't
and
perfect,
now,
it kept getting more expensive, but you could keep doing it. Like, the penalty should be cost, not brick.
And I think that's the common denominator that I've been seeing on social media and regards to tempering, is that they need, you know, that's kind of the route that they should go. Simply because they're, you know, people are getting sick and tired of breaking items. Like you said, spend two, three weeks, a month trying to find this item. They get the item.
And it's gone in 5 seconds.
Yeah. Like, it's dreading. You know, you're not relieved to get the item. You're dreading the tempering process because you don't want to brick said item.
You get excited to get it, and then you're like, oh no, I gotta do
now this. It's now. Stage two.
Yeah, stage two. Yeah. The fuck you stage. So
yeah, it's like you're playing a Souls game and you finally get the boss, and then all of a sudden there's another stage to the boss.
Yeah, yep. And you spent a week trying to get to that point, or 100 deaths or whatever.
I don't have that kind of dread when it comes to those games. I have more dread when it comes to tempering than I do. I have PTSD from tempering.
Yeah. So real quick, before we get off the Diablo segment, I would like to, I think we've kind of gone over a little bit of it in this conversation, but what do you guys think needs to happen, or would you like to see happen for season 7?
I mean, my statement when we first from episode 1 is still the same. It definitely feels like, you know, the lack of like clan activity. And I really would love to see some kind of like clan boss or raid boss where you can only invite people that are in your clan. Like, yeah. I think that would be so much fun, and it would make the clan tab and why is it even there? Cause it's not being utilized. I think if season 7 had some kind of clan activity with some kind of clan, cosmetic, you know,
or bonuses, reward. Like
a reward of some sort, then I think that would help and bring communities closer together, besides just,
and have a clan ranking system. So you could like do like, you know, have like 4-man pit pushes with your clan to see who can do it the fastest, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Would be awesome.
Yeah. Like some kind of leaderboard within the clan.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so you'd have the major leaderboard, and then you have like the clan leaderboard, right?
Or your clan versus other clans instead of the
public. Absolutely. Yeah. And then there's got to be something there that they haven't really tapped into, and maybe they have big plans for that in the future. But I can tell you this is that the Realmwalker still very lackluster. I love the XP boost that you get, but outside of that, it's like just kind of weak, man.
It's a chore. It's like, oh, I ran out of the opals. I got to go. And now I got to run, you know, Realmwalker. And then you look, you're like, oh, the Realmwalker's not up. I got to do something else. And you come back, it's like, oh, the Realmwalker was just killed. Like, they need to either have it always up or, you know, but you're right. It is lackluster. I like the idea behind it. It just didn't, it wasn't implemented as well as I think it should have been.
Yeah, it's just not fun. I mean, there's nothing that makes like it stand out that is different.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like what they could do is something like some kind of like where there's no enemies and it's like some kind of puzzling system, or there should be something besides just combat, because everything that you do in the game is strictly combat. So trying to switch something up and make it to where maybe there's some kind of maze, or you know, where there's traps everywhere and you have to avoid those traps to make it into the next room, and then every room you make it through ends up giving you better results or gives you better rewards.
Yeah,
I just feel like there's other things that you can do in the game besides combat, and they're not utilizing that. So I would love to see that.
I actually never thought of that, to do that. And, you know, Diablo's never done something like that. And maybe that could be why, but that's actually not a bad idea. I kind of like that. Now, I think for the next season, A, they need to bring all the other classes up to the power of the spear. I think they tried to help that with this mid-season patch. I haven't played any other characters or looked at anything to see, because I think it was just released yesterday, to see if that actually helped or not. I did read that that Rob2628, he evidently found an unlimited damage, unlimited health Spiritborn build. So I'm going to look into that.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to look into that, but I don't know. But yeah, they need to bring the other ones up. I don't think they need to bring the Spiritborn down. I love the ability that I'm actually able to get to a pit 150, which was nowhere near, you know, possible before, unless you were literally, you know, playing 12 hours a day, every single day since it launched, and got all the luck on your side. So bring the other ones up, and then, yeah, fine tune the tempering and the, masterworking. I mean, it is what it is, but somehow do something with it. So I'm not, you know, spending a week trying to get one item perfect.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I would like to see, you know, with the clan, the whole clan thing, is I think they should try and implement like clan XP. So as you and your clan members are out in the world, you're fighting doing the realm marker, you kill the world boss, you're gaining XP for your clan. And as you level up, you start getting slightly better rewards, whether it be a little bit like a 5, it can be a 3% XP boost, a 5% XP boost for like level 1. Level 2 could be extra mats at the end of boss run, all the way up to like level 5, where like you do a boss run and you're guaranteed extra equipment at the end, no matter what.
Yeah, you're trying to like kind of like the battle pass does with like those cinders that you get to put in, but yeah, also have a separate one for, you know, clan and stuff.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good idea. And I think that keeping stuff balanced is going to be the hard part when you start adding all of these additional things. And I think that's kind of what they've gotten not quite right with this season, is they added these abilities to gain extra XP, and they wanted to make it harder for you to get to 300. But I feel like maxing a character out now, which I guess you only have to max one out now, and correct, then you're done. You just got to get gear for any of the other ones. So I do understand why they did it. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know if I'll ever get to 300 with my build before even the end of season, and I've played a shit ton.
I have too. I mean, we're over halfway through the season now, I think, or just about halfway. So if you're not at 284, you're not halfway there. So that means you got to increase your gameplay.
My brother's basically done with the season.
He's done. He's played three times as much as me, and he's still not even at 284.
Yeah, him and I were talking last night. Like, there's no meat left on the bone for him, and he's not even close to 300. Like, for me, there's still, you know, there's still some meat to chew off the bone. But for him, and for someone else we know that just cleared a 150 pit, you know, that's like, they're at that point. Like, my brother can roll through a 145 pit, 140, 145, like it's nothing.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's it. Yeah, I think they just they've got to. It's yeah, they just got to correct that and make it to where. Because once I complete everything, I'm done with the season. I don't care what my level is.
Yeah. If I complete pit 150, then I'm done. Unless one of my friends are like, hey, can you help me boost through this? I will definitely log on and help them with that. But once I do a 150, I'm done with the season. There's nothing else to do. Unless bragging rights, just to get a 4-star GA in every slot. Or, you know, like, yeah. I mean, that's bragging rights at that point. If I'm doing
a 150, besides once December 6th hits.
Yeah.
Diablo what?
Yeah,
exactly. Diablo.
So I gotta make sure that happens before December 6th, Marvel Rivals. So, All right. So I think we touched enough on Diablo 4. Recap: we all like the game. It definitely has its gripes, but we all like it. We're gonna continue to play it. I'm excited for season 7, whatever they do. I hope to hit pit 150 soon, so I can take a nice break. But that sounds good. I think we really enjoyed it.
Yeah. But before we get into the next segment here, I think we need to talk about what we're drinking.
Okay. We can do that. You go first. You brought it up. BBT.
Okay. What you drinking? So this is what I am sipping on at the moment. And it is, get it? Unblurried.
There we go.
So it's a Kentucky bourbon barrel aged wheat beer called Tart Cherry. Tops out at 8%. And boys, this one is a banger. It's a banger. I'll be making a YouTube video on this one for sure.
Okay.
But it's very good. Go ahead.
So as you know, from the first sip, it's, you know, you got to adjust to it. But as you start going through, it gets better and better.
Yeah, so it's super easy drinking, like you would expect a wheat beer to be. It's pretty light, it's pretty thin on the mouth, and but there is a tart cherry to where it is truly like it's not a sour, but it's right on the cusp of being a sour. But then you have that bourbon barrel aging that goes into it, and it just brightens the cherry up more.
Nice.
And I think if it wasn't bourbon barrel aged, honestly, I think it would probably be too sweet. Because of that, it like tones the sweetness down, and it just enhances all of the flavors. So this is absolutely fantastic.
Well, speaking of bourbon, that's what I'm drinking. And this is a thank you as courtesy of a perplexed entity in chat right now, because this is a gift from him. I have drinking the Black Button 4-grain straight bourbon whiskey. Clocks in at 42%. It's nice and smooth. I like it a lot. Let me do a little sippy sip and let me see if I can tell you a little more about it here. Starting to get a little cloudy from my ice cube, but it's very smooth. And it's got a sweet front and then just that nice smooth bourbon finish. Not really crazy in any flavors. It's just a legit bourbon. Like it's again 4-grain straight bourbon. That's what it is, but it's delicious. I like it. Val, what are you drinking?
Nothing as bougie as you guys. Jesus, I'm merely supporting my local hockey team here with some traditional Canadian beers.
Okay.
You know, good old Labatt's.
How's she going, AL?
No, just straight up Labatt's. Supporting my local Red Wings.
Okay. Sounds good. We send it. So, our next section is Smash or Pass. And the game today, which oddly enough came out today, is Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl. I have just heard good things about the game. I have not watched anything on it. I have not read about it. Some of my friends are like, you need to see this game. You got to get this game. It is on, well, we'll talk about it later, but it is on Game Pass as well. So you can get it through Game Pass and whatnot, but we will do what we did last time. We will first watch a video of the official trailer for the game. And then we will do a quick talk on that, and then we will do a video of gameplay of it. Now, both of these trailers, I think, start with the same scene, so just don't think that I'm playing the same video. They just kind of start with the same scene, ironically enough. So, all right, you guys ready? All right, let's hope my my stuff works here. Let's see.
Sky up above. I am blind, but it is you who cannot see.
Huh.
So, to me, it looks similar to a lot of shooters, but I think the story is going to have a lot to do with it. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
It looks very
story-driven. Yeah, because it... Because in the beginning, yeah, I think so. Because like right off the rip, it feels like, you know, it's got a little bit of a Doom vibe. And as we, you know, as it progressed through the game, you know, the trailer, I started getting like BioShock vibes.
Yeah, a little bit with the, you know, that lightning thing that went around. It looked like he had something in his hand that could do that. Those grenades looked almost like a shock or like an impulse grenade, which was kind of interesting. I love the effect of everything around it being like warped. That was pretty sweet.
For a brief second, you can see the menu UI, and it kind of looked like it was similar to Escape from Tarkov.
A little bit. Yep. All right, so let's actually watch. Oh, go ahead, BBT. Sorry.
No, my first initial thought on it was it looks a lot like Wolfenstein to me, just like an updated. I don't know if y'all ever played that.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
I played the original one.
It's kind of got that like vibe to it. A little more dark and eerie, though.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
And it is a campaign based. Multiplayer in this, PvP. Right?
Yeah, okay. I thought it was like single player campaign for sure. All right, let's watch the gameplay video. See what changes on our thoughts.
And they definitely opened it up with the same exact.
Yeah.
The zone was never a friendly
place. This is the gameplay?
Scenic and breathtaking, yes. But don't be fooled. Gunfire in the zone hasn't subsided for many years, which is why you won't find a person here without a weapon. And if you need one, you might come across stashes left by stalkers who decided to hide their guns and best gear for the future. Before heading out on your next adventure, check your gear. Repair it if needed. Otherwise, you may face, well, consequences.
Okay, so they
without ammo, your piece is useless. Be sure to know where you're heading like so you can grab the ammo type you want, especially if you need something unique. There's a tool for every scenario. Depending on what kind of stalker you are and how you prefer to navigate the zone, you can upgrade your best friend with various attachments found along the way, installing them on the go to adapt to the exact fight at hand. Stick with your firearm for a bit longer and customize it further, technicians will be happy to assist, but not for free. These guys can repair and upgrade your gear to suit your gunfight style, making it more specialized for specific circumstances, or vice versa, turning it into a versatile tool for any situation. Each gun feels and fires differently, and its effectiveness depends on the distance and the type of armor you're up against. That's why, my friend, preparation is key to survival. But don't forget, this place is full of surprises. The more you know the zone and expect the unexpected, the better your chances of living another day, exploring her mysteries and secrets,
Windigo.
And reaching the goal you've set for yourself.
All right. So it looks like it's very in-depth with customization, which it seems like they want you to go your own path on weapons you like, and things like that, which is pretty cool. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I've been looking for a good single player campaign shooter, like actual shooter. And this one tickles my fancy.
I can tell you this right now. I'm downloading the game right now. It's actually downloading on my screen.
He beat me to the punch.
Oh man, I will download it. I don't want to get into it yet because obviously I just got into Dragon Age. So I
gotta finish Wukong, but I'm gonna download it.
Yeah, that game's gonna take me a bit, but I might dabble with it a little bit in between once I finish that 150 pit in Diablo. Then I'll have, because I need to at least, you know, switch between a few things. So but I definitely will play it. It does look pretty sweet. I'm intrigued. Squatch Watch said the only thing that he's not liking so far is realistic gun movement as far as recoil seems hip fire friendly. They didn't do too much hip firing in that. But it did seem to hit a lot of shots with the hip firing, so I guess I can see where you're going.
Oh no! But at the same time, whoever was doing the gameplay trailer couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if he was standing 2 feet in front of it.
Even when ADS for sure. And again, you don't know what attachments they've added on the guns at those times, but I'm gonna say a smash on that one, and I'm assuming guys agree.
Easy smash.
You're in the process of downloading
easy
it.
Easy smash. Easy smash.
Yep.
Yep.
Concur.
BBT is going to be silent for the rest of this because he's going to be playing Stalker 2 in the background while we do the podcast. See?
I'm glad I got fast internet because it's at 25% already.
That's hilarious. Oh, that's hilarious.
I'll be streaming that soon.
Yeah, okay. I'll watch it before I download it, but I'll definitely check it out. But it does look pretty sweet. So, all right. Welcome back. Welcome back, Hall. All right, you guys ready for the next segment? This is going to BBT is going to take over this segment here.
Before we get into it, I need to go get another adult beverage.
Okay. Yep. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead and introduce us to what we're about to talk about, BBT.
All right. Let me pull up my notes. So I don't know if everyone has fully been has been checking out what has been happening on Twitch at all. But social media is kind of blown up right now. The big issue right now is they're calling it adpocalypse, right? And so essentially what it is there were some content creators are let me restart this. There were some content creators that were claiming that ad revenue had completely changed and or dropped off almost entirely. And depending on what content creator you listen to or talk to or read about or what they've tweeted on, it has ranged from anywhere from 10% all the way up to 95% of ad revenue has been changed. Now, there's a couple of other content creators that go into explaining why that is possible. But what has kind of funneled all of this is there was a massive decline in ad revenue because ads are the different companies that were promoting their ads on Twitch. A lot of those different companies have stepped away from Twitch. And that has caused a pretty big backlash in two different ways. So there you have the content creator that is experiencing the drop in ad revenue because primarily those companies that were being promoted on their channel are either not there or just they're not being promoted there anymore. So it's kind of a twofold kind of situation to where the first situation is that I don't know if anyone is, you know, I don't want to get political, but there has been some more content creators like Hassan, who has basically built his channel now currently off of political views and has said some pretty nasty things. And there's been a lot of claims against him and other content creators similar to what he is producing, that there's some anti-Semitism that is being allowed to be represented and pushed on Twitch. And therefore, other companies that will not tolerate any of that have pulled their ads from being shown on Twitch.
Now a little caveat to that. Some of these companies have been bombarded by, you know, viewers, you know, of these streamers because they don't like what that person is saying and have emailed these companies and, you know, some of these companies en masse saying, hey, these people are promoting, you know, this, these people are promoting that, you know, Twitch is allowing this. We think you should pull your ads from their channel and or from Twitch. And some of these companies have done so.
Yeah.
So now,
go ahead. So there's been, that's the basis of it. So Ray, do you go ahead and weigh in? Cause I want to give you a couple of different, content creators that have experienced massive changes in their ads.
Okay. So, with what Val said on that, there's a lot of viewers that have reached out to these advertisers. Now, do you think these viewers are more upset with the fact that these streamers are talking about what they're talking about? Or do you think they're more upset that Twitch is allowing them to talk about what they're talking
about? I think it depends on the, you know, it kind of depends on the streamer, because, you know, the fans of these streamers aren't going to go after these, you know, aren't going to say anything. They're going to, you know, they're going to continue watching and supporting their content creator. It's the people that don't
probably have the same views as the content creator.
Whereas the people that are going and emailing the companies or being vocal about it, that are against it, are people that have different views and ideologies and so on and so forth. So they're, you know, or they just, the content creator had said something that upset them, and just they're like, all right, this person needs to be gone. Now, when it comes to the, you know, I don't know, you know, BBT might touch on this, but some of the streamers that lost ad revenue, it was because of the tags that they had in their stream titles.
Okay.
Yep.
And once they removed those tags, their ad revenue went back up. Now, I'm not saying that happened to all of the streamers, but I know, you know, one person that I, let me back it up. The video I watched yesterday talking about this, or the other day talking about this on the news, you know, it was one person in particular that said, you know, said once they removed the tags, their ad net revenue went back up.
Yeah. And so there's actually like kind of a trifold to this. There's like a third piece of it, to where there's been a lot of content creators say, okay, there's a double standard when it comes to the content creation in itself, because you've had some people get banned for saying not nearly as awful things, in my opinion. And then you have content creators that have said some really horrendous things about certain groups of people, but because they are a certain group of people, that for some reason Twitch is allowing it to be said. And now, so there's another fold in that, that there's been a pretty large discrepancy in those types of the way that people communicate in such a way. Because I'm on the fence of very much free speech. Like, let people have their opinion, and then let's communicate and let's talk about why someone has that opinion versus just automatically destroying a person and what they've worked so hard for. But I also don't think that it's okay to hate on anybody. Like, I don't see how that is a positive spin on anything. But I will say that the going back to what you said about the tags, that's actually been a huge piece of this, is that when you remove certain tags, they've had better results on their ad revenue. But let me give you some numbers on some of this. So there was a content creator that was playing WoW. That content creator saw an 80% dip in ad revenue. And they didn't see that they had any tags that were like obscure or things that would make it not like family friendly or anything like that. Then there was another content creator that was, what his content is he does like stock trading and tries to show people how to do stock trading during the day. He saw a 95% decrease in his ad revenue. And he was like, I don't know what to do. I guess it's because of the content that he's producing, by being a stock trader, which is kind of interesting. And then there was a gentleman that I know that we all love, but he talks about that his ad revenue has never changed, even during this, and has said that there has been so many, a lot of content creators don't know how to use tags, and that those tags is what allows certain ads to be played on your channel. And really? He has saw zero effect in his ad revenue. But to be fair, he's very family friendly, doesn't use any profanity, and is a very wholesome person. So when you have someone that is producing that kind of content, it doesn't seem as if they are experiencing any ad revenue dip or change. But somebody that maybe has an 18 plus tag could probably expect to see a massive ad decline or ad revenue decrease. So it's kind of intriguing. So now it's, I think as a content creator, you're going to have to evaluate what ads or what tags you're going to have to put on your channel so that you do not see a decrease. Now, I will say when I looked at mine, I saw a 18% decrease in ad revenue. And I do not have any tags that I think would flag, but I need to do some more research on why that 18% drop.
I actually don't use any tags on my Twitch, and maybe I should start using them as long as I'm going to use the right ones. I mean, I still consider my stream 18 and up because I swear and things like that. So, I wouldn't say it's overly crazy. I'm not dropping F-bombs every 8 seconds. If Val's playing with me, who knows what happens, but
with the 18 plus, if you look at Twitch and look at the what they consider 18 plus, it's not just swearing.
Yeah.
It's, alcohol. Even if you're taking a little bit of a sip every hour or something like that, you still have to have that that 18 plus content. Or if you, what did BBT say earlier? When he popped his in, little mouth pillow,
little lip pillow,
little lip pillow, that falls under the 18 plus content, right here.
Yep.
18 plus. Yep. It doesn't matter if it's, you don't have to be blatant about it, but you, at the same time, you still have to have it there. So if that's one of the things that is dropping your ad revenue, you almost have to stop and, think, okay, do I want to try and revamp my image to be more family friendly so I can get rid of that? Remove that 18 plus tag, or do I try and just stay whole, true to myself and continue on the path that I'm on and just live with the dip?
Or now do I want to switch and stream on YouTube instead of Twitch?
You can do that as well.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it's one of those things that, you kind of got to weigh your options. Like for us three here, we're part-time, content creators, more so myself than, you two, because you guys stream quite a bit more than I do.
DBT is live longer than I'm at my regular job, so...
and I'm
basically double full-time, man.
You are. Yeah, absolutely. Not basically, you are.
Whereas my line of work is so, is kind of volatile as far as like times. There's times where I could be at work till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. I don't have, I have a set schedule.
But it varies.
Yeah, it varies. It depends on, weather could come in. We could get rain and that completely changes how our schedule is set up, and we've got to shift crews around to different job sites or send crews home because everything that they got to do is outside work. So,
yep.
You know, I don't have, you know, so for me, someone like me who really doesn't get much in ad revenue and things of that nature, it doesn't, none of this affects me as much.
Yeah. The more that you stream, but the more it'll affect you. Absolutely.
For people that do this as, you know, full-time content creators.
Yeah. That, they just all got a pay cut 18, out of nowhere.
Yeah. An 18% pay cut, even a 5% pay cut, that's going to be huge long-term.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not, and a lot of people are saying that this is kind of like the end of Twitch. This, you know, the Twitch is starting to lose extra money now, and people will really look at switching their content to other locations. And you know, there's the sky is falling. If you look at X, when you're looking at this exact topic on X. A lot of people are not they're not happy with it, and I think that that's something that Twitch has got to do a better job at. And this is the biggest issue that I think with the whole situation is that you saw these massive ad declines out of nowhere. There was no email sent, there were no comms at all, especially to like partnered streamers and content creators that are full-time. There were zero emails of any sort that came out that said that tags are now going to be a primary source in which certain ads will be played on your channel and other ones will and will not. And I think that's actually really important. And transparency is incredibly important when you're talking about stuff like this, because this is people's livelihoods. And so the gentleman that was doing the stock trading, he basically went and he said that he was very transparent with everything that he was showing, and he would make between $2,500 and $3,000 a month in ad revenue. And then he saw that decline all the way down to like $150. And he goes, I don't know what to do. Like that was, this is crazy.
I saw that. I think that's the video you sent me, Val. I saw
that was,
and he was literally like up in arms, like how, like, I mean, could I take a $3,000 a month pay cut and be okay? No.
Let's not get it twisted. Everything that BBT just said is part of Twitch's MO. Zero transparency. They have not had any transparency for probably the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Twitch has,
they fuck around and find out. They're like, well, let's just do this and see what happens.
I mean, you know, and again, take any Twitch controversy over the last 5 or 6 years, and you can segment out certain people that got away with murder, but it affected the general populace of Twitch. You know, these content creators on Twitch didn't get affected, and if they did, they got a little slap on the wrist and then blew up even more. Whereas the rest of the content creators suffered immensely.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of issues with this. I mean, it's really kind of disgusting when you look at the total amount of how many content creators that were disrupted in their day to day. And how many content creators, like, there's very, very few that were not affected with this. Very few. And when you're relying on ad revenue, especially, there are a lot of content creators that will literally tell their people, do not sub to me, just watch, and that will pay me a handsome salary. And that right there, those content creators are the ones that are really, really, really getting hit hardest, is because when they are not promoting their channel to be sub to, but they're promoting of just being there and participating. Like, that is the big populace that is really taking this in the worst of ways.
Twitch, Twitch management has needed to change for a very long time, much like a certain NFL team. No, it's been.
Damn it, Mel.
Ah, one star rating. All right, so.
No, but all seriousness, Twitch has been in this position where, you know, certain groups, like their bread and butter streamers, can, you know, they will bend over backwards to make sure that these people are taken care of, and will, they don't care about the people that are, you know, the little guys. You know, they don't give two flying fucks if these people who stream for fun or, you know, are just now getting to the point where they can, oh, you know, almost go full time are affected, as long as the people that bring in
the big streamers the most because of ad revenue. And that's, you know, what they make.
But,
and all Twitch is doing is stabbing themselves in the back, because the big streamers is what makes them the money. Does Twitch make money off me? Yeah. How much? Nothing that they would ever see a figure change, and not going to put them in the red. But you fuck over four or five of these big streamers with ad revenue and they all switch to YouTube. You just saw yourself a 20-30% cut in revenue, and then you're freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're banking on just their overall viewership. That's going to hold them, because they do have more concurrent viewers than any other site. Agreed. In terms of live broadcasting. Now, another thing that is really kind of disgusting, in my opinion, is that there are certain things that are allowed to be said as long as it's a part of a certain group of people that can say it.
That should not be allowed.
That should not be allowed, period.
Yep.
And because there's multiple content creators that I do watch that have said something that was out of pocket, and they received a ban, and it was rightfully implemented. And then there are people that are pushing a certain agenda that can say whatever the hell they want, and for some reason they do not get, they don't get the same treatment.
Or I mean,
there was literally a content creator that said that they wanted to replicate the Twin Towers and make a cake. And fucking do it and like that's create this thing.
Probably
like,
and that's probably it. The same content creator that wished all our armed service members get PTSD. They did receive a ban, but it wasn't even for those comments. It was for something else. It was some political or some panel that they were a part of, but it still took, you know, a long time for that person to get a ban, and it was a 7-day ban. Whereas someone, yes, I'm going to name drop here, like Asmund Gold. Yes, he said some out of pocket shit that, and he got a 48-hour ban or something like that. You know, and
it was like a week, man.
Was it a week?
Like 5 days, I think.
Okay, I knew it wasn't, you know, like a lengthy time, but still, he said some out-of-pocket shit that even, you know, it's like, okay, he needs to be reprimanded, and he even acknowledged it, that he needed to be reprimanded, because the shit that he was saying was so far out in left field that even, you know, he had so many people like, dude, not cool. And I'm just, that's an oversimplification. Still.
Yeah.
Like, he...
That cool.
He went back, I think he listened to what he said, and, you know, he reflected on, he's like, you know, Twitch did, they banned my channel for X amount of time, and it was, I deserved it. But these other content creators, they're going to get that ban. They're going to come, you know, they're going to be done with their jail sentence. They're going to come back, and they're going to continue saying that same left field, out of pocket shit until somebody else bitches and complains to where they get another ban. And it's going to be the same thing over and over again. Because if I receive a ban, you know, my first ban's what, 24 hours, and then it goes up from there. But it's, you know, I got three strikes and then my channel's deleted. These people will get banned over and over and over and over and over again.
Because they're making Twitch money.
Exactly.
Yeah. We probably don't need to hit this too much more, but
no, I think we
hit it. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Twitch is doing some really fucked up shit that I can't get on board with on any circumstance. And it has made me like really consider, why am I streaming there? If this is the type of things that they're going to allow to happen, type
of environment that they are willing to allow to be created.
Yeah, it's wild, man. But
all right, so enough of Twitch. We hit that hard. Real quick, one more piece of gaming news. I'll let Val talk about this one because he's the one that brought it up. The Xbox handheld. We're going to touch on it real quick. We don't know much about it.
We're over it. Phil Spencer was asked in an interview, the interview was covering a bunch of stuff, and he had mentioned that they are wanting to get into the handheld space to try and compete with the Steam Deck.
But I honestly think they don't need that, because you can, the Xbox Cloud, you can play on your phone, your tablet, and so you have that cloud option on any device.
But he said,
what are they going to do to make it better?
We don't know, because he said it's still going to be several years out. They are far from, and let's face it, Valve has the handheld market cornered.
For high-end stuff, I mean, the Switch is pretty big. Switch is pretty big there, but for like real high-end stuff, absolutely, Valve has that captured for at least the PC one, and there's a lot of other companies that do it and are succeeding as well, but Valve definitely takes the cake on the mobile PC gaming. So if Xbox could do something that's better than, you know, cloud on your phone, cloud on your tablet, and actually be a better performer or whatever, then I could see there might be a market for it. But I
think as long as their UI is, you know, very similar to, let's face it, they're going to use the Xbox UI. They're going to try and condense it. They're going to try and do their best to condense that down into a handheld form and make it as user friendly as possible. I've never messed with Steam Deck, so I don't know how that UI works. If it's like hard, if it's like intuitive or anything like that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Another quick segment before we get into the games coming to the Xbox Game Pass, and then we'll wrap things up here. Val's also going to take this over. We're going to just go over, since it's this time of year, we're going to go over some Black Friday deals.
Oh, yeah. You know, depending on where you go, will depend on what you get. You know, as far as like your big box retailers, Walmart has Black Friday deals on Xbox consoles and PlayStation consoles. But it all depends on what you're looking at. I think Xbox has the better deal. As far as, you know, consoles is concerned, like, pricing and everything, but...
Yeah, you said Walmart's got a really good bundle, right?
Walmart. Yeah, Walmart has Xbox Series X 1 terabyte digital bundle for $489. That is the Series X, so in robot white with 2 white controllers. Or you can go with the carbon black with 1 controller for $450. Sony has a PlayStation deal for $675. It comes with a bunch of stuff. I'm not, we don't need to get into it because, I mean, realistically,
it's like a whole big bundle, isn't it?
Whole big bundle, but none of their other stuff is on sale right now. Okay. Nintendo is doing Nintendo things and not putting anything on Black Friday deals.
Nintendo Best Buy's need to.
No, Best Buy's got, you know, your TVs, monitors, computers, stuff like that. They already got their Black Friday deals going. If you live close to a Micro Center, woo-hoo, you've got, again, Black Friday deals going on. Just watch out, because some of the Black Friday deals are just typical deals that they have year round. Yeah, like the motherboard CPU RAM bundle.
Yep, they always have that, the AMD bundle.
And then if you're really looking for something older or don't have the funds, GameStop has previous generations for like 150, 160 bucks on most consoles. Let's face it.
Or if you love a retro gamer. You know, that's good if you want to start picking up retro gaming. It's not a bad thing to do.
Yeah, 125 bucks for an Xbox One. Just regular Xbox One. Oh. But I'm sure shop around. There's, and if you don't, we are not sponsored by this, but, if you have Honey, the Honey extension installed on your whatever browser you use, always, that'll help you out with deals too.
All right, we'll get into our last segment here. We'll go over this kind of quick like we always do. Or I should say always. It's our second time, but like we will always do. Coming to Game Pass. So coming to Xbox Game Pass this month, Botany Manor. It's going to be out for everyone, meaning everything that has access to Game Pass. Metal Slug Tactics is all console and PC. StarCraft Remastered and StarCraft 2 for PC only is coming to Game Pass. Go Mecha Ball for everyone. Harold Halibut for everyone. The Rewinder for everyone. Turnip Boy Robs a Bank. Everyone. That's definitely, I'm downloading that. The Goat Simulator Remastered.
That feels that Turnip Boy feels like it's similar to Cuphead. I've never seen it. I know nothing about it, but
I think about Super Meat Boy. But yeah, Goat Simulator Remastered, Series XS, PC and Cloud. Spyro Reignited Trilogy. Man, I remember Spyro for, what was that, the PS2? Was that the first one for it? I don't know.
Yep.
My younger sister played it. That's coming out for console, PC, and cloud. Microsoft Flight Sim 2024. There's a lot of people big into Flight Sim, so that's a big one. And that's for the Series X and S, PC, and cloud. And as we talked about earlier, Stalker 2, Series X, S, PC, and cloud. And finally, Nine Souls for the console, PC.
Ooh, I might download that one. A 2D Sekiro-like?
Oh, nice. Okay.
That could be fun. Could be fun. I like a good side scroller.
I can tell you this, as out of that entire list, I will be doing a drunken goat simulator.
Oh god. I never played it.
You know, that whole thing was a joke.
I've never played it either.
It was a joke made off the Source Engine, right? Half-Life 2 Source Engine, I think is what it was built off of, and it just took off. So they kept adding stuff to it. It's just...
My kids played the hell out of it. There's some dumb shit that you can do in that game that will make you laugh. Another one that... I don't know if you guys have seen anything on it. Squirrel with a Gun?
Yes. That's one of the first Unreal Engine 5 games.
Yeah, that one... That I don't know if I'll play it, but it looks... It's kind of funny.
Yeah. All right, so I think that pretty much wraps it up for episode 2. Thank you all that watched us live and chatted and contributed to our podcast here. For everyone else that downloaded this, wherever their favorite podcasts are, we definitely thank you. Please look us up on YouTube if you would like to see us live, and subscribe and give us that thumbs up. Easiest way to find us is to search for Button Mashers Podcast 2024, and that usually pops up first in there when you search that. So we will we'll see you guys all next week. And again, we were a week later than normal this time. Our schedules didn't line up, but usually the second Wednesday of the month is when we plan to do these live, and we'll keep everyone in the loop if that changes. So everyone have a good night, and we'll talk at you soon.
Later.
Cheers.